Blog Talk Radio.
But exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome. Well, this is Make Your Future Happen Mondays. Make Your Future Happen Mondays. You can do it. I know you can do it. Well, you know, Tuesdays, we said take it by force Tuesdays. Well, pretty soon for the entire week, we're going to have a slogan for each and every day of the week. We are on a mission. We are fired up, jacked up sideways, as my good friend Twyla Porters would say. And we are moving straight ahead, forward. Here we come. We're not going backwards. We're going forward into our destiny. Destiny is waiting. You know, my other good friend, Denise Jenkins, we would talk for hours about the future and where we were going and what we were going to do. And then we came up with this slogan that says, we're not just living life, we're living destiny. You know, we could really feel it. It was just permeating our senses, all of our five senses and our thoughts and our soul and our heart, that we're living life on destiny and living it with a, that means you're living life with a purpose. That means you understand. Even if, you know, there are a lot of people who say, I don't know my purpose, and I understand that but trust me, there was a long time I didn't know my purpose. How about four decades at least. Where the purpose was not fully visible, did not really have this clear picture of the purpose. So even if you don't know your purpose, see, and I hear that so much from people of all ages, shapes, sizes, colors, race, creed, you know, you name it, religious background, you know, sexual orientations, all different kinds of people, and all levels of people, all various levels of, you know, leadership. And people say, I just don't know my purpose. And that's okay. And we know millions and millions of people some years ago read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and they did the 40-day study, the 40-day study in the book, and they had fun with it. Some of them did it with their other church family members and some husband. I know a couple of couples, husband and wife teams that read the book, and yet some people have come away from that, and they still would say, put it like this, the purpose is still not yet clear. But here's the thing. It's okay if you don't know your purpose per se just yet. That's all right. But do know that you have one, you see, because it starts with that. If you know that you have one, the rest is history, as they say, you know. You got to know that you have one. And that's all part of the, like I said today, I wanted to finish talking about the AFAPE, A-F-A-P-E, AFAPE. And that's this model that, you know, came, you know, straight to me from the Lord. He just put those letters together and is allowing me to teach this very, very simple model of how you too can not only discover your purpose, but actually live your purpose, live your goals, live your accomplishments and your achievements. And it was so interesting how he allowed me to walk right into a sixth grade class. I went from, you know, adults down to some eighth graders, and then he said, okay, go ahead, test it out on sixth graders to see if they got it. And the way I started out with the, because, you know, younger people, they just go for the gusto. They don't take time to, you know, be so fancy and be so complicated and so analytical. Sometimes I think when we get older, we overanalyze everything. You know, we make it so complicated when yet it is so very simple. And so, you know, God said, okay, just go on and test it out with the sixth graders. And sure, I said, God, they're not going to get this. This is going to be boring to them. Well, you know, I learned something about boring some years ago. And I know I'm diverting here for a second. And I promise to come back to the whole AFAPE concept and model, but I learned something about boring some years back, probably about 7 to 10 years ago. I learned something about boring, and that is that, you know, because then I used to do it too, and I would say, oh, I'm bored, and then I hear people say I'm bored, and sometimes, especially younger people, a lot of times they'll say I'm bored, you know, any age group, 8th grade, 12th grade, 10th grade, you know, they will say they're bored, especially teenagers. And then and older people as well, you know, I'm bored. And what came to me is that, okay, no, really, you're not really bored. It's that you're boring. You see, bored is a state that you create for yourself. So when people say I'm bored, what they're really saying is that if you say I'm bored, you've just given away your power. You've given away your power. So what I teach people to do is to take your power back. And the way you take your power back in a bored situation is to do something or to be exciting. Okay? So, you know, when you say I'm bored, that means no one has come to excite you. Okay? Now, what if no one shows up? That means, I mean, how long are you going to stay bored? A day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years? You see, that is not good. So instead of saying I'm bored, you see, understand that you're not doing something. It's something that you're not doing to bring excitement into your life. Okay? Because when you say I'm bored, that means you're relying on someone else to make you exciting, to make you excited, to make you happy. Same thing with saying, I'm unhappy. Okay, you're unhappy. Well, why? Go make yourself happy. Go do something that makes yourself happy. And, you know, this is something Paul talked about. Whatever state I find myself in, I'm content. So it's not, and certainly I didn't come up with this. It's no new concept. It's not, you know, a Lalisa aha. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. It's just that we discover things as we go through life, and we discover things and we share those things with others. So the next time someone tells you that they're bored, just look at them and go, you see, no, you're boring. Because if you're bored, there's no need to state that, in other words. There's no need to say that you're bored. If you, in fact, are bored, go do something to be exciting. Now, I know some people like to say they're bored because they call themselves expressing possibly that someone is boring them. Okay, or they're trying to blame someone, like if a child, if a 15-year-old child, if you take them to the mall with you, and let's just say they don't want to go to the mall, and you're walking around the mall, and you're all excited, and you're shopping, and you're looking at clothes, or you're looking at items, or whatever it is you're out shopping for, and you have to take the child because you don't want to leave them at home or whatever, and the child might say, I'm bored, you know, with that particular activity. But see, here's the thing. Again, there are things that you have to take control of no matter what situation you find yourself in. So if you were a child and you had to go to the mall with your parent, you can do something there while you're there that could be exciting for you. Maybe walking store to store to store is not exciting for you per se, but do something exciting. Make a game out of it. You know, count how many times you know, see a gold outfit. Do something that triggers excitement for your life. You know, make jokes. Do something. So that's my little secret to never being bored ever, ever, ever again, is that you have to take control of your own excitement. You take control. Don't give it to someone else. When you say I'm bored, and you say it as if to say, you know, I can't do anything. I mean, I'm bored, and so I'm stuck. You know, I'm stuck in, no, you're not stuck in boredom, okay? You can get out of the land of boredom anytime you want. Therefore, there's no reason to state it. If you're bored, you can say it to yourself that lets you know it's time to do something exciting. So read a book, write a book, you know, watch a movie, make a movie, go somewhere, be somewhere. I could go on and on with a list of things that you could do, but that would probably have to, you would have to kind of do a little self-study and know what excites you, and then always be ready to do that exciting thing. But realize that when you say I'm bored, you're helping to build for yourself a victim mentality. And if you're not careful, you know, especially for very young people, but anyone really, if you begin to build a victim mentality, it's going to carry you a long, long time in your life, and you're not going to be very happy at all later on in life. So back to the story where, you know, the AFAPE, how that all came about. It's an acronym for AF, it's the acronym AFA. P-E, and I believe I talked about it a little bit on Friday, and the A stands for aim, the F is for focus, the other A is for act, as in action, the P is for produce, and then the E is for evaluate. And so produce, meaning produce, production, what has been produced. And then, so with the P, always in mind, you're looking at, okay, what am I producing? You know, we are creators. God has made us creators. We are here to create. We are here to produce. We are here to be fruitful. We are here to be developing, to be growing, to be multiplying ourselves. What are we producing? We should be producing something. You know, he says every branch that doesn't produce, well, it's going to be cut down, and if it's cut down, it's just picked up and thrown in the fire. Just like when I remember when I was a child, some of the best tasting barbecue to me was when, you know, my parents would go in the backyard and they would find these old branches, or we would go to the park and have our cookouts and they would get these old branches. None of this charcoal stuff like they do today. You know, back then, you know, you took the branches and, you know, you balled up the newspaper and put some lighter fluid on it and you had a fire. And the food, the grill food just tastes so delicious. Well, that's what happens to, you know, branches that are cut down. The other branches are in the tree and they're bearing fruit. There's no need to cut them down. So we need to be fruitful, productive. And so that model, so when you think of the word produce, is what are we producing? And then the whole evaluation piece, well, it's actually what's going to happen because, you know, you're evaluating what you're producing. And so then it goes all the way back to the first A again. You're evaluating to see if what you're producing is in line with your aim, the initial thing that you were aiming for, what you're aiming for. So here I am in the sixth grade class to say, okay, surely this is too high level or more complicated. They're not going to understand, right? And, you know, there was quite a few because they took two classes and combined them. So there had to be a good 30 to 40 kids there and, you know, students, because I did ask them. I said, what do y'all call yourselves? You know, I know you don't say girls and boys. You're a little too old for that. Yet, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, ladies and gentlemen. You could say that, but I don't want to take them too fast, too soon. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of our children, our youth today. We refer to them as adults. Therefore, when they act, and we treat them like adults, and then when they act like adults, then we say, hey, hold up, you're too grown. Well, you know, maybe we did that to them. I don't know. Just saying. But so anyway, I said, so what do they call you? And, you know, again, they're very smart. They said, students. And I said, oh, great, okay. Hey, students. And so that works very well. That way you don't have to deal with male or female, blah, blah, blah. You're a student. That's what you are. You're here to learn. And they got that. You know, they're students. And so students learn. And so I kind of like that concept that they call them students in terms of what they're there to do. So I said to the students, okay, here we are, this AFA. First of all, I just wrote the acronym on the board. I didn't say anything about it. I just wrote the letters up there. A, period. As a matter of fact, I didn't write it up there. I had someone else write it up because, you know, the whole audience participation thing. So I had them, I had the teacher, I had her write it on the board for them. And then she took her seat. And then I called up, I asked for five volunteers, and I had them just kind of stand off to the side because I was going to have them write each word as I went through them. And again, you know, audience, they love to participate. So I had them off to the side, and the first thing I said was, okay, what does that smell? And so one young lady, you know, she wanted to answer the question. She raised her hand. She said, AFOP, AFOP. And I said, great, awesome. So, you know, they're really very, you know, these are students and very smart. So I said, yes, yes. So she was pronouncing it the way, you know, they've been taught. And I said, well, it actually reads a fape. So the A is, it's a long A. And they were like, okay. So they were good with that. And so I asked them, what did they believe that the first A stood for? And they gave me their examples. And then I asked them each letter. You know, again, audience participation, you can keep their attention longer. And so I did that with each one of the letters. And then, of course, after they gave their try, I finally gave them the answer. And then I had each student to go and write, actually spell the word out going down under it. So that was pretty fun. That was a lot of fun. But the cool thing was, after they took their seats and I had them, you know, give them a hand and all of that, and then I start breaking down this model for achieving their goals. Well, I asked them what it could be used for, and they told me. They said achievement, success, and, you know, and that's understandable too because they all knew what the day was about. They knew that people were coming into their classroom to motivate them, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, these schools today, really, you know, we need to be able to go, I think, you know, more often. I'm not saying we don't go often enough, but I just feel that, you know, and I know they have to have time to study and do their work and all of that, but I mean, really, there needs to be definitely monthly activities from the community coming into the schools and working with the students. And they seem to get a big kick out of walking us around the school. But let me tell you, if you're going to do Career Day, or and they do have Career Days coming up in all the schools, because that's the time of year that it is. If you're going to be doing Career Day at any school, it doesn't matter where you live, you can do it. It just takes a couple of hours out of your day, and it is a lot of fun. So no matter whatever job you have, you just call your local school and let them know that you want to be a part. Call the guidance counselor. Introduce yourself, tell them what kind of business you had or you're in, and that you want to be a part of their Career Day. If they already booked up, they could get you next time. But they always need backups, because there's always a person that can't show, especially when they get people sometimes from the hospital or the fire department. But anyway, but these Career Days, I'm telling you, it's wonderful for the students, but it's also wonderful for you to do. I remember sometime around 1997, I was speaking at a Career Day in Newark, New Jersey. 1997, I was doing a Career Day at the Cleveland Avenue Elementary School, right there on, I believe it's on Bergen Street. And I went there to do this Career Day, and there was a pilot, a female pilot was there as well. And she was from Continental Airlines. She was doing the Career Day, and of course, you know, the students loved her because, come on, a female pilot, you know, she brought these little airplanes for everyone, so they were in love with her. And I got a chance, you know, all the other people who were there presenting, you know, we get to meet each other. There's a little luncheon going on or breakfast. So I got to meet her and how you do, blah, blah, blah. Well, I hadn't seen her, and then the next year came around, 1998, when I had, by this time, had interviewed for a job at Continental Airlines and was waiting to hear back about my interview. So I shared with the woman that I had recently went back to the, actually the both of us had been asked to adopt Cleveland Elementary School to kind of mentor the students there, and we both had agreed. So that kind of gave us a little connection, me and this pilot woman. So I come back the next year, 1998, there she is again presenting, there I am, and I say to her, oh, yes, I interview for a job with your company, blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, that's great. Who did you interview with? And I gave her the person's name. She says, oh, don't worry, I'm going to put in a good word for you. And I said, thank you. You know, I didn't really know her. I only knew the couple times we met there at the high school. I'm sorry, at the elementary school, Cleveland Elementary School. And I'll never forget that. And for a while, you know, I did see her a time or two. And sure enough, I did get the job at Continental Airlines. And I just, you know, so again, I only remembered that story just now. So I'm only telling you because, you know, do these Career Days. Don't neglect them. Don't think that you never know. I had no idea I would meet her and so many others that I've met, you know, so I don't have time to share all the people that I've met at a Career Day. But, you know, look at what came out of it. I don't know if it was what she said and what she did that got me the job there, but it was nice, you know, having someone to say, I will put in a good word for you, because you don't always hear people doing that, telling you that, you know, to ask you, well, who are you interviewing with? I'm going to contact that person on your behalf. So here I am with these sixth graders giving them this model. And so I said, you know, I just was, again, astounded and amazed that the sixth graders could get it, that they really got it. They understood that you can aim for something. And then if you aim and you focus and you take action, you will produce. And then you will evaluate what you've produced to see if it met your aim. And that's a way to achieve your goal. Now, here's the key and the secret and the purpose behind using the system. Because what the system takes care of, it takes care of, what the system takes care of is, oh, yes, Kiva, I'm just getting to the chat room now. Good morning, Kiva. Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed the advice about the career day. Yes, absolutely. It really does work, and I encourage everyone to go and take part in Career Day, because our young people, they definitely want to see us, and they need to see us, and you can have a lot of fun. And boy, trust me, this is the honest truth. You will learn way more than you ever teach them. Absolutely. I mean, these young people, and like I was saying before, they got so much kick out of showing me all around the school, and, you know, and I got a kick out of pumping them up and, you know, encouraging them and, of course, telling them how beautiful they are and how smart they are. And, you know, that's what I was there to do. And I can look each and every kid in the eye and tell them, you're so smart, you're so beautiful, you're so cool, you're so awesome, you rock. And I know for a fact that for some child, they've probably never heard that before. They've absolutely never heard that before. And so it wasn't about, you know, me going there and necessarily having a book to read. It necessarily wasn't about me going there and letting them know that, you know, I'm this dynamite author and speaker and all that. Not that I am, but you know how we do. But no. I was there to tell someone, you are beautiful, you are smart, you are awesome, you rock, you are great, you are dynamic. And because for some people, some kids have never heard that. And I do believe in the power of self-efficacy. I believe it. I know it works. I believe I understand it, you know. And I believe in the Pygmalion effect. I believe it does work. And so, and just in case you didn't know that part about Lalisa, some of y'all don't know that part. Some of you do know. But I highly believe in those two things, the Pygmalion effect, and I absolutely believe in self-efficacy. I so believe that it is critical to changing a person's life, and definitely our children. And so that's what I was there to do. But sorry, I was doing that, and I loved walking around the hallway. Now, here's my caution to you. If you're going to go into a career day, please make sure that if you're going to wear your stilettos, like me, you know, I love that, right? My high heels, as we used to call it back in the day. If you're going to wear your high heels, take a pair of flats, because in the schools, they don't have elevators. Possibly they have something for, you know, wheelchair accessibility, but you can't take it. So we went from basement to the third floor, so that's like four flights, right? Okay, you may not want to do that in stilettos, okay, so unless they are the most comfortable shoes that you ever had, because you will be going up, and then especially if they give you a classroom where one classroom is on the third floor and the other classroom may be on the first floor, and not only that, you should ever notice how big schools are? So it could be at one end of the hallway all the way around to the other side of the building. So just know, you want to come and you want to be prepared. But I had the students that were walking with me and a couple of other youngsters, and they were laughing, of course, as we were going up the stairs, and I was out of breath, and they were laughing. But here's the funny thing. Some of them were out of breath, and I'm like, why are you going, woo, you're only in the eighth grade? You know, they were laughing. They were like, oh, Miss Williams, you know, we go through this every day. I would say to myself, yeah, you should be used to it by now. But we had a lot of fun. And it really, I'm telling you, boy, you want to spark your day, just go and hang out with some eighth graders, seventh graders, and sixth graders. You will have the time of your life. They are so full of energy. If you need energy, just spend time with them, because you can collect like a year's worth of energy in one setting with those young people. They have a lot of energy, and you can definitely ask them a lot of questions. So I had so much fun at Bellsburg, Ivory Hill. I think they changed the name, combined the name or something like that. But we had a lot of fun there and met a lot of people, and that was great. Actually, they're having their career day May May the 20th, I believe. Yeah, it's a Friday, May 20th. They're having their career day, so I'm going to go back and actually do career day with them. And here again, more opportunity, you never know. So I didn't go there with my books. I didn't go there with any books to sell. I had a copy with me because I thought they were going to have me read something. So I said, well, let me bring, I didn't know what, I said, well, let me bring my book. I'll read something from it if I need to. And I haven't done a celebrity read in a long time, and I forgot how they did it. I forgot that, you know, they have books that you it's about the books, reading books, and they have books from the library there for you to read. So I said, well, I forgot that. So I said, well, let me just take my book just in case. Well, at the end of the celebrity read, the counselor, which I didn't know her, and she, we were talking afterwards because the person who invited me was a teacher. So you could be invited by a teacher because you know how those projects work. They have a committee. So the committee might consist of a couple of teachers, a counselor, and maybe a parent liaison, somebody from the community. And so the teacher that had invited me there, she says, oh, hey, you know, this is the counselor. She introduced me and, you know, I talked about coming back and just speaking to a group of the eighth grade girls, just the eighth grade girls, and to really, you know, kind of get loose with them and get real with them and, you know, open, have them to just openly talk about what they're experiencing as challenges that, you know, are facing them as they move on to the ninth grade. Because here's what a lot of people know, that when you're in that grade, from the 8th grade to the 12th grade, that's, you know, to get to high school graduation, there are going to be many there are lots of challenges that face you, okay? And you need to have a plan on how you're going to overcome those challenges before they get there. Because if you wait until the challenge is upon you, now it's kind of too late to gather up everything you need to, you know, battle it. So it's best to look at the challenges beforehand, you know, list them all out. Not every child is going to go through the same obstacles. But if you list out as many as y'all can think of, you know, and have them throw out challenges because they know more challenges than we do because they know what the student before them went through or that grade level before them. And then some of them have older siblings. So they know what the challenges are. And then you can just fill in the blanks if they miss something that we know are challenges that face students who are trying to graduate high school. And so you put all that up there, you know, drugs, sex, peer pressure, family problems, neighborhood problems. These are just the basic challenges. Finances, you know, those are the basic challenges that kids have to face. Now, not every kid's going to face the sex challenge. Not every, because some kids, just that's just in their spirit. Just sex ain't an issue for them. Okay, and then somebody else is like a nymphomaniac. It's just everybody's a little different. For some kids, money is no problem to them. They could care less how dirt poor they are, or they could care less how rich they are. But to another child, money is a problem. If they don't have what another kid has, they feel cheated, neglected, slighted, or whatever. Beauty is big for some kids. For somebody else, they could care less if their hair is jacked up. If they're jacked, they don't care about that. Another kid, they can't even get a pimple without feeling bad or feeling down or feeling depressed. So you got to know all of these things are going through. Every kids are different. Not every kid is the same. Not every kid is balancing the same challenge. One kid is very much into their grade. Let them get one B, they're crying. They're literally having a heart attack. Another kid could get C's, D's, and F's and come to school every day happy. So every kid has a different challenge facing them to get them to the 12th grade. And then once they get to the 12th grade, or possibly even a junior, now you make sure you have to have more arsenal to come back and help them get out of there and get into college and overcome all those challenges. So anyway, there's a lot to be done, but I had a great time, and I was love teaching them this model for goal achievement, success achievement, the AFAPE. ASAPE. Now, I said I was going to tell you about the what happened to the bear. Now, here's a story that I heard, a very, very powerful story. And, again, at the heart of the message, I think you're going to get it once I explain to you, and you're going to get it. It's not a hard concept, but here's how the story goes. Okay, there is a hunter, and the hunter is going out to hunt. I'm going to tell you the short version. So the hunter is on his way out to hunt. The hunter takes his rifle, and his goal is to shoot a bird. That's what he's going to do. He's going to shoot a bird. That's his goal, is to shoot a bird. And he takes one bullet. He loads it into his rifle. He only has the one bullet. He loads it into his rifle, and he goes out to shoot this one bird. Now, I'm not quite sure, as the story is told, I'm not quite sure why he only takes one bullet, not quite sure why his goal is to shoot a bird, but that's what his goal is. So he goes out to shoot this bird, and sure enough, as he's on his way, he sees a bird flying overhead. He sees a bird. So what does he do? Well, he's only got one bullet. He sees this bird, and he takes aim. So there you have the first A right there. When you're going after your goal, when you're going after something that you want to do, you gotta take aim. Now, as he takes aim at this bird and he's ready to shoot, he only has one bullet. Can't afford to really waste it because he's got to achieve his goal. He aims at the bird, he shoots for the bird, and as immediately as he takes aim, he notices this big bear directly in a limb over his head, literally, and that this bear could fall on him and he would be killed right there. So he's thinking, what am I going to do? He has a decision to make. What am I going to do? But before he can even get his thoughts out, he's aiming at this bird, and he looks up and he notices a coyote charging at him at full speed. So now he has a coyote charging at him full speed. He has this big bear that is looming overhead. But he's got the goal in mind, and he's aimed at this bird. And all of a sudden, he hears something. He looks down. He notices a rattlesnake at his foot in a coil. Now, most people who know anything about rattlesnakes know that a rattlesnake that is coiled up means it is ready to do what? You guessed it. You're right. Ready to attack. And so now he has all of this going on. He's got the rattlesnake at his feet. The coyote is charging full speed ahead. And this big bear is looming overhead. But his goal is to do what? Shoot the A. He's got a decision to make. And how many of us have a decision to make? He has this goal. So what does he do? What does he do? Who does he shoot first? Who does he shoot first? Who would you shoot first? Who would you shoot first? You have this coyote charging at you full speed ahead. You have this bear on this limb. You have the rattlesnake at your feet. And you only have one bullet. I don't know if it's a silver bullet, but you only have one. Who do you shoot first? Well, I'll tell you who he shoots first. He shoots the bird. He shoots the bird. Why? Because when he shoots the bird falls on the bear, which is on a limb that was barely there anyway. The bear falls right on this coyote that's charging at him, and the coyote falls on the snake and kills it. Now, what's the moral of the story? That story is, once I heard that story, and I heard it twice, it took me two times to really hear it. And once I heard it the second time, that's when the culmination of things that I've learned over my life helped me to develop the AFAIT model for success, for reaching your goal, for attaining your life success. What happens when he shoots the bird that falls on the bear, that falls on the coyote, that crushes the snake? What is taking place here? What's going on? He aimed at the bird. That was his initial goal. The bear, the coyote, and the snake were distractions. Just like as you are shooting for your goal, there are going to be distractions. But you have to focus. That's where the F comes in. So you take aim on your goal. You focus. That means getting rid of the distractions. And then, after you get rid of the distractions, the second A is to take action. So he took action, and he did shoot the bird. But action, in a quick second, he made that decision. And then after he took action, what happened? He reached his goal. He still, his aim, his initial goal was to shoot a bird. And he shot the bird. Whether that bird was going to be used as a trophy in a contest, I don't know what he had to shoot that one bird for. Maybe he was in a contest, and whoever went out that day and shot a bird was going to win some big prize. I don't know. But the point is, once he took aim and he focused, getting rid of the distractions, you have to get rid of the distractions in your life. He made a decision. He took action. And he produced a result that he was pleased with. So the AFAIT model goes like this. Number one, you take aim of your goal. You focus. You take action. You produce something. Every time you take an action, something will be produced. You evaluate what's produced. You're evaluating for its effectiveness to see if the production meets your standards. What you produce, you're evaluating to see if it satisfies your aim, what you were aiming at. And you can use this for a college. You can use it for finances. You know, maybe there's a certain amount of money that you want to save by a certain time period. So you take aim, you focus, get rid of the distractions. You want to save a certain amount. The distractions might be a sale sign at Macy's or Lord & Taylor's or whatever store you like. You see, distractions might be this or this or that. So you get rid of the distractions. That's your focus. You take action by following through with your saving plan. And then you're going to produce monthly, daily, monthly, weekly amounts. And you're evaluating them and see if it's matching your initial aim. Your aim may be $1,000 a month. It may be $10,000 a week or whatever your aim might be. And therefore, the evaluation piece is so that you can make adjustments. Now, here's the moral of this story is that when you take aim at your goal, everything will fall into place. So with the hunter, he took aim at the bird and he followed through, and guess what? Everything fell into place, right? Because then the bear fell, the coyote fell, and the snake fell. So that's how it is. It's a symbol of what's going to happen in your life. Because some people, and I think we were talking about this possibly on Thursday even, when a caller actually called in and was saying, I have all these different things going on, and, you know, I feel overwhelmed. What do I do? And that's when I started thinking about, okay, let's, you know, give some good sound suggestions here. This is what you can use this model to. You know, you go, and then she stated that there was one thing that was most important. So we said, go after that one thing, and then everything will fall into place. So again, good morning to Make It Happen Mondays. Now, what is your aim? What are you aiming at? What are you aiming at that you need to take focus on? That you need to take action? See, an aim without action, you will not produce anything without that. So, you know, and then there has to be focus. Have to be focusing on what it is that you want to do, what it is that you're trying to do. Whether it's start a business, grow a business, join a business. You can join someone else's business. You can go into business with someone. You know, you can partner with people. There are lots of people who are looking for partners, and collaboration. So you can partner with people, you can collaborate with others, go into business with them. But this is certainly, and so we're going to get a chance to try this model. I tried it out on another group of women, and they got it. They really love the story. So they get a kick out of seeing, out of the group, seeing who would shoot what first, you know. So I had one group, they were all up in arms because the one girl said, it just makes good sense to shoot the snake. And so she just couldn't. And then it took me a while to get her to see that, but based on the moral of the story, you got to shoot the bird first. She was just like, no, you got to shoot the snake first. It's your immediate threat. And I was telling her that, I know, dear, but it's just a story to paint the picture here to get people to see that. When you go for your goal and you stick to it and you aim at it, everything else will fall into place. And I think I left the show on Friday using my own scenario of how going for that one goal and then all these other things not only fell into place, but are still yet falling into place because it's a lasting effect. It's a lasting effect. Once you put that model into place, it lasts. It doesn't go away. So it's still happening. Things are still falling into, just falling into place. Why? Because of the goal. Because when you have a goal, everything falls into place. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Same thing with the purpose. Even though you may not know your purpose, okay, you will find your purpose quicker when you know you have a purpose versus a person who keeps saying, you know, they don't have one. There are people who say that. I don't have a purpose. Well, once you get past saying that and you begin to say, I have one, I just don't know what it is, you know, and you really mean it. You know, you really know you have one, because some people are just saying that because they don't want to say they don't know and they don't have one. They really don't believe they have one, but they say they have one. But if you really believe that you do have one, but you just don't know what it is, that's okay, because as long as you know you have one, you will find it. You will absolutely find your purpose. And as a matter of fact, with action, and okay, you know what? Let me just sidebar for a second. Well, not really sidebar. This is an add-on here. It's like a smorgasbord. We're adding this piece on. With the actually, you can use the AFAPE model for a purpose as well. You can use it for purpose. So, yeah, thank you for that. You can use the AFAPE model to find your purpose, because doing something will lead you to finding your purpose. Doing nothing will keep you from finding it. So as long as you're doing something that's, you know, positive, something that's positive, you will find your purpose. You know, just get started. But you'd be surprised. The moment you get started doing something, you're going to meet someone, or you're going to meet someone, or you're going to do something that's going to lead you to meeting someone. Now, all it requires in order to do that, in order for that to work, there is a requirement on your part. You have to, again, you have to believe that you, well, even if you don't believe you have a purpose, you at least have to believe that there's something to, you know, there's something for you, that there's something for you to do in this life, that you were created for something, that God created you for a specific reason, a specific purpose. So it just really does go back to the fact that you have to know that there's a purpose for your life. So we can't get around that. We can try, but it won't work, because everything is going to come back to there's a purpose for your life. So you may as well start with that. And so with that being said, what we want to do, all of us that get an opportunity to, as early as possible, we want to teach our young people that they have a purpose. And even though we may not be able to articulate exactly what that purpose is, it's okay. as long as they know there is a purpose for their life. Now, for the most part, a lot of young people are being taught that, so that's really great and that's good, because that's, you know, that's what keeps you, knowing that there's a reason for you to be living. So that's what I really wanted to share with you today. Today is Monday. I hope you had a great, powerful, awesome weekend. Don't forget this Thursday, if you're in the Nashville, Tennessee area, you can come to the Women of Destiny and Men of Valor event. That's going to be happening. It happens Thursday at Shoney's. I believe it happens the third Thursday of the month at the Shoney's down there. So you can go to Keva, K-E-V-A, Renee. She has a page on Facebook. You can go there and type in Women of Destiny and Men of Valor, and you can pull up that page, or you can Google it. If you go to Google and type it in Google, it will come up, and therefore you can see the flyer. Get the exact address, go there, and you will be able to connect with that, connect with her, and that's a powerful event. You can come and find out how to go to the next level in your life right there in Nashville, Tennessee. Be encouraged, be empowered, be inspired, and be motivated. Connect with other powerful men and women. You know, it's nothing like having a nice support group around you. You know, I forget, I think it is Jim Rohn and others who talk about how you are going to be the average of your five closest friends. And so the five people that you hang around, you're going to be averaging pretty much out what they are about. So if you hang around, you know, five people that aren't doing anything, well, don't be surprised if you're not doing anything. And if you hang around five superstars who are booming and grooming and on the move, well, don't be surprised if all of a sudden you got a lot to do and you're booming and grooming and on the move. That's how it is. So going to those kinds of events are a nice way to connect with people, especially if you're new in town and you don't really know anyone. Or if you're not new in town and you don't know anyone, maybe you're ready to get to know some people now. Maybe you want to go to the next level in your career and your life, so you want to go to events like that. Also, if you are planning to come with us to North Carolina, June 24th, 5th, and 6th, we will be driving down to the Releasing Your Inner Power conference that is going to take place, you know, a couple of years back, and we decided to go to various cities to do the Releasing Your Inner Power conference. And for some of you, you're wondering, what in the world is that? Well, it is a conference that was developed based on the book Release Your Power, which is a book that helps people to get motivated to utilize their inner talents, skills, and abilities to create the life that they want for themselves. So the conference then has that as a, you know, backdrop, as a theme, like unlocking the door to your destiny. When I did the very first Release Your Power workshop seminar down at the Robert Treat Hotel in Newark, New Jersey, oh, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we started out, yeah, maybe about 5 years ago, we started doing just an hour and a half seminar. And then it was, you know, expanded to a conference, and we've actually used the title for many things, a retreat, a conference, an awards brunch. And now we are taking, and we wanted to bring this to other cities, right? So again, here's an example where once you have a goal, things will fall into place if you aim for the goal, and everything else will fall into place. So since we had this goal to go to other cities, well, we aimed at doing the conference, though. Before you can go to other cities with the conference, you want to do the conference right there in your own city. And sure enough, we did the conference, and a woman attended the conference from another city. And so it's just funny how these things happen. And, well, while she was at the conference, she said, oh, I would love to bring this to another city. And so that's how we ended up bringing this to North Carolina. And I didn't get on the phone and call up cities and ask people to bring it there. The person offered to do it and actually offered to help with the planning in that city and went to that city and got several other people. So we're very grateful and thankful to Miss Virginia Dancy, who did a lot of footwork in getting the Hyatt Regency Hotel. The rooms are very affordable. If you share rooms, it's only going to cost you for the two nights about $100 to share the room with one other person. And then the registration is $50, and so probably about another $50 for your transportation. So for $200, you know, plus your meals, for $200, even I would say altogether probably about $250. For $250, you can go with us to North Carolina for a powerful conference. Powerful. The speakers will be Dr. Cindy Hunter, who is very, very awesome and very powerful. Very powerful. Awesome woman. She's an entrepreneur. She's an author. She's a leader. She's a domestic violence and dating, teen dating violence advocate and worker and counselor. She's had lots of stories and successes under her belt as it relates to those areas. She also runs a session down there for empowering women down in Greensboro, North Carolina. She's a part of a group of women that she pulled together, and they hold all kind of events all year long. She also did a play, and she's done quite a few things. So she's just an awesome woman. She's one of the speakers. And then also another speaker, Miss Aretha Robinson, who actually is from New Jersey, but moved down there some years ago, a couple years back, not that long ago. And she, I believe she's from Bishop Hilliard's church initially, I believe. I think I'm correct on that. And she went down there and actually they started their own church. She's one of the speakers. And Mr. E. Dean Cole, some of you met him up here in New Jersey. And so he will also be one of the speakers doing his piece on finance and marketing. So they are going to be the speakers for the Releasing Your Inner Power conference down in Greensboro. So if you desire to go with us, please let me know so I can put your name on the list so we know how big of a van that we need to take with us. So you can inbox me right there on Facebook and let me know that you want to go, and you have to reserve and actually put down a deposit, because we're going to need deposits by the beginning of probably that first week of May. We're going to be taking deposits. So we're looking forward to that. And also, don't forget the May 14th event right here that Patricia Martin is putting on, at Minister Patricia Martin, 100 Women in Black and 100 Women in White and 100 Men in Black event for March 14th. And that is $25. You can go to her Facebook page and let her know you want a ticket. That is Reverend Anita Padilla. Author Deborah Davis will be there sharing her testimony. The Reverend Ralph Bunch Terrell, awesome, awesome. And myself, and I can't forget, and I think one other person. So, and it's going to be praise, dancing, singing. Awesome, awesome event. So May 14th, mark that on your calendar. And also April the 30th. We're doing an event here in New Jersey. We're not going to Cleveland. We're actually doing something here. So keep all those dates. Keep all those dates going. And we're at the end of the show. So I just want to say, again, this is Make It Happen Mondays. Make it happen today for yourself. Come by yourself. Go out and do your best. Do your absolute best. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, Tuesday. Same time, same place.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.